is that we've been talking for quite some time about leadership at Journey. Journey's been here now for a little over 5 years, and we've primarily been a church planner-led model, which means that the folks that started it kind of lead the whole thing, and we are well past the ability to lead and direct this ship just on that model alone. And so what we're trying to do is begin spreading more and more leadership out among the community, the congregation. And so we're creating a leadership council that is functioning very similarly as an elder role within Journey. Those that have maturity in their faith, those that have the ability to offer leadership, and those that we just had enough time to spend with them, and they are just good mentors for the rest of us. And so we have two people that we're going to be presenting to you. We're changing our schedule a little bit just for some conflicts. What we're going to be doing today is we're going to hear from the first person that we're presenting to you guys, and that is my dad, John Love, who knows more about churches and church planning and the whole gambit of doing what we're doing than really I do. And he's been doing it longer with more churches than I have. And so he's going to be sharing his testimony in just a few minutes. Now, our schedule change is that rather than Josh Murphy, who is the second one that we're going to be presenting, he is not going to share his testimony next week. The Murphys are gone today. Be praying for them, because he is taking Nikki and the girls to the airport this morning. They're going to Latvia for the last process, the last step of the adoption process for them. And so they've finished everything with the country of Latvia, but they have to go back to Latvia in order to clear things with U.S. customs. So you have to go to Latvia anyways. It's just efficiency at its best. So they have to travel to Latvia to deal with U.S. customs so that the girls can stay here permanently. So why we can't do this here in the U.S., I don't know, but this is the way it works. So they are on a plane to go there and do that. And he's taking them there, and then he's actually going next week to pick them up. So we're going to let him share his testimony in 2 weeks so that they can all be, his family can all be here for that. And then we're going to actually do a commissioning 2 weeks after that. Now, between now and the commissioning, let me again say that what we want for you to do is to have an opportunity to say, yes, we believe that these are two good candidates for this position of leadership at Journey. And then we're going to, on the 28th, we're going to be letting you just vote. We don't do votes at Journey, but we're going to let you do this and have a voice. If between now and then you have any concern with the process or any concern with the candidates that we brought before you, I want you to come see me, or I want you to go see Scott and just share what those are. And because we want this to be something that's healthy for the church. We believe these choices are good choices, but we want everyone to believe that these are healthy for the church. So without further ado, I want to give my dad an opportunity to come forward. He's going to share his testimony. And I know it's kind of a weird conflict of interest when the preacher's dad is being presented for a leadership position. But I want you to know, if there's one person that gives me a hard time in this community, it's him. And he'll be the first one to tell you that. I've tried to help him with his testimony. I gave him some talking points. I don't know if he's going to include those about how awesome I am. But I think he might have left those out. But I want to just give him a microphone and just let him share a little bit about his life. Thanks, Dad.
Thanks, Mark. Well, Mark has his tablet sitting out there, and I tore some pages off of my tablet. I can write in cursive, so I can... Okay. Yeah, Mark was a little bit nervous that my testimony was kind of weak, so he wanted to help me, so I thought I'd just read the part that he did for me. I was born at a very early age. My life was dreary, without any joy or happiness. Then on February the 5th, 1973, our wonderful son Mark was born. He was the perfect child and a gift to humanity. Finally, my life has joy and purpose. Did I read that right? Pretty good? Okay. You know, I think Jesus had a good time. We see in the Bible of all the serious things that went on during the time that he was alive. But I think when he was with his people, his disciples, his apostles, that they had a good time. I bet he had a twinkle in his eye when he said, "Hey, Peter, how about come on right here and walking on the water with me?" You know, I just see a lot of humor in the Bible. But I think when we're with our church family, should be our happiest. we ought to have joy. You know, we look around us, and our life's really pretty good. Some better than others. But everybody here came in a nice car. We're in a comfortable place. We have wonderful snacks every Sunday morning. Probably half the people in the world would think that, you know, the little snacks we have would just be a feast. But then after this, it's going to be even better. I'm going to be in heaven with Jesus. So, you know, what have I got to be unhappy about? But testimony. I looked up testimonies and I saw some really good ones. I like Chuck Colson's real well. You know, he was the Watergate burglar that spent time in prison and then started prison ministries. And Johnny Cash's is pretty good. I'd love to have one of those dynamic testimonies. And people that have those really have a wonderful witness. But I've never known one of them that became a Christian late in life that don't wish they had an ordinary testimony that when they were a young person that Jesus came into their life and they hadn't had to deal with all that other stuff. So what is a testimony? It's I'm going to testify, and I can only testify to what's happened in my life. Something happened early, and then I came to know Christ, and then there should be a change there. So there should be something after I come to know Christ. Now, being baptized does not necessarily mean that you've come to know Christ. That's really just being put down under the water. So let me tell you just the path that I've taken. I was born into a Christian family. My daddy was a principal at church. He was an adult Sunday school teacher. He was a deacon. When your daddy's a principal, you don't ever get away with anything. They know everything. When I came home from school, if anything had happened, he had spies everywhere. I heard that you did this. Or I heard you were invited to be in this club. Let me tell you what they're doing. Well, I didn't know what they were doing, but he knew everything. So there was not a time that I don't ever remember that I didn't consider myself a Christian. A little bit later, when I started driving and dating, I was out late one Saturday night and got up Sunday and said, "Boy, I'm really tired. I don't feel like going to church." Daddy said, "Well, that's too bad. Next Saturday you can be in by 8 o'clock, and then you'll feel like going to church." So that was kind of the background. We just didn't question it. We just went. And it was a good time. We went to a big church. Along about age 10, it was the practice of the pastor to come into the Sunday school classes. And the way they were set up in larger churches in those days, would you have kind of a meeting room, and you might have, say, grades 3, 4, and 5 that had assembly in there. And then around the meeting room, there would be classrooms, and you would divide up into those classrooms. You know, you might have, this would be third grade boys and fourth grade boys and third grade girls, never together. We didn't associate in those days very much. So the pastor came in and presented the plan of salvation. And he said, "You know, y'all are old enough now that you ought to get baptized and be members of the church." Surprisingly, that Sunday, about half the class decided to go down. And the next Sunday, probably about 80% of them went down. Well, I was a little ornery. I waited about 2 more weeks before I went down so it wouldn't look like I was just following the crowd. So I got baptized. Nothing really changed too much. Like I say, I never remember a time that I didn't consider myself a Christian. But they decided to start a new program. It's called the RAs, Royal Ambassadors. If any of you grew up in the Baptist church, you may have seen the RAs and the GAs for the girls. They decided that they would take us on a conference. We went over to Nashville, and first time I guess I had ever been on anything like that. But anyhow, in the conference, of course, they have motivational speakers, but they had the main speaker was a strong man. Now, if you want young boys to listen, you get somebody that's a strong man, or somebody that can do karate, somebody that can, you know, do something tough. Well, he wasn't all that big. He was probably about Scott size, only he was muscular, you know. I have seen guys, you know, tear phone books in half. One time we were on a conference, and the current strongest man in the world was our speaker. And he, you know, tore phone books and had guys hit him in the stomach as hard as they could and hurt their hand and wrist and that kind of stuff. But this guy wasn't all that huge. But his thing was, nobody could hold him down. The devil couldn't get him down, so he invited about 15 men to come down out of the audience to hold him down. And so here they've got him all sprawled out, and they've got guys laying all over him, one on one arm and leg. Well, just in a minute or two, he had thrown all of them off and had gotten up. And so I was pretty impressed with that. But then he said, you know, boys, if you want to really live a life for Jesus, and you've got to take care of your body. You can't drink, you can't smoke, you can't waste your life. And I don't know why, because I'd heard that message a number of times, but when he said it, it really made a difference, and I could really see a change in my life. I really felt like Jesus had come into my life. Now, that was about 5 years after I was baptized, and I still don't doubt that, you know, I was a Christian at 10, but the Spirit really came in during that time. Well, things did change. I got more serious at church in my personal relationship with others. Got married, went to school. We always went to church, but we weren't always that active. I mean, we went regularly, but if it was inconvenient, we didn't. We didn't really know about tithing. We knew that when you went, you gave. And if you didn't go, you just kind of skipped that week. It wasn't until later that I realized that if you're going to give, you give every week. And if you miss a week, you catch up. But anyhow, weren't too active. But then something special did happen. And it did involve Mark. And it did involve our daughter. We had children. And that makes a lot of men and women much more serious about their relationship with Christ. Because all of a sudden, you're not just responsible for yourself. You're responsible for somebody that really doesn't know anything. And they and Christ is dependent on you to tell them. So we did get active in church, and I learned to love it. I was a deacon, taught Sunday school for many years in the choir, on a lot of committees. The most enjoyable thing I ever did was planting churches, and that was just by accident. And I really learned to like it, because you get to be with a lot of sometimes new Christians, but people that have a lot of good spirit. You know, large, successful churches just have kind of a routine, and you settle into it, and everybody knows what they're doing. But there's really not the excitement. I've seen lives change in a small group. Well, one thing I would ask you to do as Josh and I are preparing to accept this new role in the leadership team is to pray for us. As Mark has already mentioned, it's probably a little bit unusual. I don't know a lot of situations, and I've been in a lot of churches and been with a lot of pastors where the son is the pastor and the father is one of the lay people, one of the members. Now, Mark and I have a great relationship. As he mentioned, we don't always agree. And I'm probably pretty free about giving my advice. Mark's very good about listening and being very respectful. He doesn't always do what I tell him, but I think I'm pretty good at not expecting that he or anybody else necessarily does everything that I suggest to him. So do pray that I'll be and Josh will be a blessing to this new group that's forming, and that we'll be able to work well together. And the last thing I would say is each of us have some responsibility in our church. We've chosen to worship here. The church is not this building. It's not the large building down the street. It's the group of people that decide to band together to worship Christ in the way that they believe. And this is where we have chosen to be. And many of you have been regular here for a long time, and I know we have a lot of visitors today. But thinking what's going to happen in the future, some of you are going to be asked to take some kind of leadership position. Maybe not this one. Maybe it's teaching in Kidmo or the nursery or greeter or something. But be prepared to step out and don't be afraid to think, gee, I've never done that. I don't think I could ever do that. I've done things in the last 35 years that I never imagined that I would ever do and actually grew to like it. So pray for us, pray for Journey, and thank you.